Susan B. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out, speaking with Telluride Film Festival director Gary Myers. We've discussed the features. This conversation is about the documentaries and other special programs at this year's film festival. Gary, thanks for joining me once again. Mm-hmm. So, it seemed to me when I was reading through the program that there are fewer documentaries than there have been in years past. That may just be an impression and not a reality, but were there? And is that because there are fewer of this sorts of these sorts of films being made versus the features, or was the documentary pool just not quite as rich as the features pool?
Well, I'm happy to say that the pool was very rich, and there are probably more docs being made than ever before. Last year was an anomaly. There were several films like Pina, The Vendor's Pina, in 3D,
right,
and the Scorsese film about George Harrison living in a material world that were sort of beyond just being documentaries. And even though they were documentaries, we saw them as kind of special events, and we found ourselves programming more documentaries than we had usually done. We don't have a pro forma, so to speak, that says we need X number of documentaries. But we didn't, we're usually looking at five or six documentaries in the main program. And I can tell you that the six that we chose are phenomenal, and it was very difficult to turn down at least 10 other films that I think are festival worthy. And then, of course, the backlot. There's another 10 films in the backlot that are full-length documentaries.
Right.
So there's plenty of them there. The six films that are in the main program, though, I believe that Tom and Julie and I, who make those final decisions, all agree that these are unlike any documentary that you will have seen before, both the subject matter and the way they're constructed, the way that they tell their stories, if I can borrow or paraphrase the title of Sarah Polley's film, Stories We Tell. They just are going to blow your mind, as they say.
Okay, I was curious, in reading about the aforementioned Stories We Tell, why is it described as a story film versus a documentary? Is that just a sort of sleight of word, or is there really a difference?
Well, it's a documentary, but you find yourself being sucked into a narrative that has surprises all along, both for the filmmaker and for we, the audience. And she spent, I think, 5 years working on this film, going through her family's home movies, which she had access to, tremendous amount of home movies. Mostly people have photographs and a little bit of home movies. She had a lot. And learning, I don't want to give away any surprises, but just learning about things that she had no idea were a part of her life. And so a story is being told, and like the best novel that you might read, it takes many unexpected turns, mm-hmm, to bring you to the place where we are today. And Sarah Polley has been an actress since she was a little girl and has now started directing narrative films. She did Take This Waltz this year, and the film with Julie Christie, my mind is blanked out, but from a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And now she decided, over these past 5 years, to look into her own family history and see whether there was what she thought would be a documentary, and there was. And I don't. That's all I can tell you, because when you see it is when you understand that.
So the subject matter, wide-ranging for these documentaries. One is about the Shin Bet, the gatekeepers, another about Marilyn Monroe, another about the crime committed in Central Park in 1989, about the assault on a young investment banker, another, the Stories We Tell, about the sort of a family history, and then another about the Indonesian death squads. Is there some thread that unifies this very diverse field of documentaries and their subject matters?
I think great filmmaking and surprising stories. Some of them are stories that we know something about. Central Park 5 was in the media. Pretty much the whole affair of these five young men from Harlem being picked up and accused of raping this woman. And there were facts that made it clear that they to these young men for interviews, which is unprecedented. And we, you know, now we see it in a really different light. And it talks very much about profiling and racism in in the world today, particularly in our country. Love Marilyn. Well, we know a lot about Marilyn Monroe. We all think we probably know everything there is to know about Marilyn Monroe. And then her diaries, her personal diaries, are found and become the core of this film by Liz Garbus. She made a film called The World Against Bobby Fischer. She made a number of films, but the one a couple years ago that was nominated for an Oscar, I believe. And she has a number of actresses reading from the diaries. So she has footage, film footage, and photographs that we've never seen before. And we get a very different look, a very personal inside look at who Marilyn Monroe was and what drove her to her success, to her frustrations, her depression. We see a much more intelligent person than maybe we usually expect it to be. She had the ability to negotiate with Daryl Zanuck at 20th Century Fox to get her way at a certain point in her career. So those are surprises. But then you take a film like Act of Killing, and it's a story we know a little about. I mean, well, you may have heard about the death squads, but in this particular group of guys, when they were kids, they used to hang out in front of a movie theater and pick up the ticket stubs and resell them to people at a discount. And then they'd take a stub and they'd go see a movie themselves. And they loved the movies. And they thought, gee, it would really be cool to kill somebody in the style of a musical or a gangster movie. And so they started doing that. When Josh Oppenheimer approached them about making a film about what they had done, because they now are retired, if you will, they said, yeah, we can do that, but we want to restage the movies, the killings in the style of the movies that inspired them. And it spins out of control. It's just totally outrageous. It's like depressing and hilarious at the same time. And it's totally scary, but amazing, just amazing. Was this film called Love? Is Mark Cousins making a very personal film about who he is, what inspires him, what keeps him going, what depresses him for moments, how he comes back. But it's experimental in its form. Gatekeepers, well, I don't know that anybody could ever imagine that the heads of Shin Bet, which is sort of like the CIA of Israel, all the previous heads would come out and come on camera and say, what we did by going in and bombing Palestinian villages and targeting people didn't work, it doesn't work, it's not the way it should be done. This is shocking.
Yep.
And so, you see, this is a whole range of different kinds of stories.
They're amazing. It sounds amazing. And while we're on the subject of a range of stories, your guest director, Jeff Dyer, put together quite an interesting mix of six films for his program.
Mm-hmm.
Do you discuss his choices with him, or does he have free rein to pick what he picks?
It's both. We meet with him when we first ask him to do this, and we talk about what's been done in the past, and say to him, this is your choice. You get to pick the movies. We will go find the prince. You're allowed to continue to change your mind. Somebody like Jeff Dyer, if you've read any of his books, you know that he has an incredible amount of interest in practically everything, and he is a big film buff. So he started out with a list of about 30 titles, and then he brought it down to about 10, and then we talked about those films and trying to come up with an interesting balance so that films were very, very different from each other, and he brought it down to a 6, and then he changed his 6. And the first film that he chose, which was on the list until a few weeks ago, was a big Hollywood blockbuster with Richard Burton and Clint Eastwood called Where Eagles Dare. It's one of his all-time favorite movies. But a few weeks ago, he said, you know, I just watched this film Unrelated again by Joanna Hogg. I think the film is tremendous. Nobody has seen it in America because the film was never played in America except a few festivals a few years ago. And I'd really like to bring that instead because you can get Where Eagles Dare on video. Nobody will have seen or be able to see this film. So her film Unrelated is going to be there, and we don't have Where Eagles Dare. But he had a lot of fun with it. He's also choosing the music to play at the intermission before his films, because I wrote him and said, would you like to curate the music that plays before your films? He said, wow, how could I have so much luck to be able to do that too? Because he's a big music fan. He wrote one of the great books on jazz. So, we're there to give him guidance where it's necessary, but really they are his selections.
Wonderful. You've been putting some director or filmmaker of some sort in a spotlight. This year it's Jack Garfine. Why? And he only has two films, but how do you feel about those selections?
This is a Tom Luddy special. Tom, all of us are coming up with ideas for the festival, but Tom often winds up finding out about somebody, or his brain just kind of gets set off on somebody that he thinks would be very interesting. And Jack Garfine, true, only made two films, very powerful, unique, and largely unseen movies, Something Wild and The Strange One. Something Wild's with Carol Baker, The Strange One's with Ben Gazzara, very early in their careers. But he is a great stage director and a tremendous storyteller. Worked with everybody who played in New York stage before they went on to the movies, Brando and Monroe and people like that. And like Norman Lloyd, if you remember him from a few years ago, who was at the festival, Jack has tremendous stories to tell, and he's a great storyteller. It's one thing to have great stories but not know how to tell them in a way that's engaging to the audience. He's the kind of guy that you're just going to be leaning forward in your seat, waiting to hear the next part of that story and knowing that he's going to end each story beautifully. And he's written a book about his work, which is fascinating, but the chance to meet him in person, see his films. Kim Morgan is a young film writer. She has a terrific website. And she did an interview with him on Turner Classic Movies that we saw. And we thought, wow, she would be fantastic. So we're bringing Kim, and she'll be doing a conversation with Jack after the screening of Something Wild.
And finally, to close out the documentaries and special programs part of our discussion, you have animations from the Annecy International Animated Film Festival this year. I think that's a new feature of the show, and is it going to be a permanent one?
No. In the shorts category, we do something a little bit different many times each year, just depending on what we get through. And this year there were 1,000 shorts that were seen by our crew, and I think that's the most we've ever had. We saw a strength in animation, and I think 3 years ago I did the same thing. It wasn't an Annecy program, but it was a program of just animation in addition to the other programs. And this year we saw about 80 minutes worth of just terrific animation that coincidentally all played at the Annecy Animation Festival this June. And since Serge Bromberg has been the executive director, artistic director of Annecy, I thought, well, Serge is going to be here. Let me ask him if he'd like to introduce that program, and he was thrilled by that. He saw that as an honor. So we get the bonus of having the guy who was involved in choosing those movies to be able to introduce them. And so it's just it's a one-time thing. If it's successful and there are enough good films to meet that need, we may do it another time. But you might notice that the Great Expectations program, which is usually made up all of shorts, this year has a feature length, a short feature, 71 minutes, I think it is, 75 minutes, and two short films with it. So in a way, we wanted to make up for the fact that we didn't have as many shorts in those programs. They were done sort of separately because we liked the animation thing, but I said, gee, this way we can also have more shorts in the festival. And we love shorts. They're the filmmakers of tomorrow for sure.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. This has been Susan Vibrock, Telluride Inside and Out, speaking with Gary Meyer about documentaries and all sorts of special programs in this year's Telluride Film Festival.